You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_data. Well, I will not fall asleep tonight. I'm going to make it. I don't feel unbelievably tired like I did yesterday, so I think we're good. Look, we've got a lot of time, and I'm basically just talking to myself right now, so just bear with me as I have a conversation with myself. We have a lot of time to cover these picks. We don't need to gather every little bit of data and spend all night on social media making sure you grab every little clip, every little note, every little thought, every little data set and whatever, so that we can have every answer for every pick. We have lots of time, right? After the draft, we're going to be obsessing about every little detail. So today we're going to hit broad strokes notes, kind of like yesterday. We got four picks to go over, which is amazing that we got four. There's a trade back in there, so we got even more picks. We got eight more tomorrow. I'd like to, if we have time, kind of hit on some of the guys that I like. By the way, first of all, let me give a shout out to Fogo. Obviously, you can't still join the contest because it's, you know, whatever, but I still want to honor them and their giveaway to us. What a really nice thing that they're doing. So if you have a Brazilian steakhouse, Fogo de Chão, you got to check it out. I mean, you can wait to see if you won the contest. That makes sense. If you didn't, please go check it out. If it's within like an hour drive, I promise you it's worth it. They've also got a thing running right now, Fogo 44. When you make a reservation online, put that in. You're going to get your meal for per meal. It's kind of like when you go to a buffet. It's not a buffet. I don't want to slander it like you're going to some. Well, I mean, buffets are awesome, but this is better is what I'm saying. But you pay for your meal. You go and then you just eat to your heart's content. So per meal, $44. Unbelievable deal because it's all you can eat steak. But anyways, big shout out to them. But make sure you come check out our stream tomorrow, right? Packernet Podcast, or if you're subscribed to Clayton's podcast, Packers Total Access, whatever, just come hang out with us. It's going to be streamed to Twitter, to YouTube. I'm going to share it on Facebook and whatnot. We hit 2,500 people watching us live. I mean, at one moment, 2,500 people, not total views. So it is a big, massive hangout. It's a big party. We hit 2,000, so I did a shot of hot sauce. So that's the only thing that's going to be burdening me tomorrow. I might be sweating a lot and in some discomfort, but that's just the hot sauce working its way through. But what I want to do tomorrow before the stream, not a ton of time, but I want to try to create my own list of guys. Not really a big board, just a list of these are the guys it would be jacked if we got. There's still a list. But anyways, I'll give you the names off the top of my head today, and then I will expand on that. If you want to hear it, come join the stream. All right, so let's start with this. First of all, as we know, in the first round, pick 25, the Green Bay Packers took Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle, out of Arizona. 6'5", 325 pounds, pretty controversial picks. CBS, which is what I'm using just as a reference right now, gave us a C+. Pretty standard, right? I think, you know, as a lot of us had time to sit and think about it, started to appreciate it more, I think he is seen as a legit left tackle. I think that's where they would prefer him to be. That doesn't mean that's where he's going to end up. But, you know, whatever. We'll see how that pans out. Then, with pick 45, the Green Bay Packers, by the way, they traded back. They had Kool-Aid McKinstry on the board and decided to trade back. The Green Bay Packers selected Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker out of Texas A&M. Very glad I went back and did a second look. First run through, as I said, I was not high on the top two guys, which was Peyton Wilson and Edgerrin Cooper. I just didn't get it. Second run through, I really started to understand and appreciate Edgerrin Cooper as I watched him a little bit more. So very, very excited about him. 6'3", 230 pounds. Here's what CBS had to say in their little snippet. Young, high-energy, off-ball linebacker, plus range, loves attacking downhill, very effective versus the run. Flashed in coverage, too, with ball skills, but tackle reliability must improve at the next level. Ultra-quick trigger, IDs play in a flash, some rawness, but plenty of tantalizing traits. That's Chris Trapasso. Okay, so then, the second pick in the second round, the Green Bay Packers select Javon Bullard. Very excited about Javon Bullard. My kind of preference was, let's just wait and go get one of the later guys. You know, there's plenty of value later on. But, you know, with the Green Bay Packers being able to have some solid DBs, obviously Xavier McKinney is going to be top dog back there. But Javon Bullard hopefully going to be able to provide some additional help, not just as a strong safety, but as a cover guy, which is kind of one of the interesting things about almost all of these picks. You know, Jordan Morgan, it's a question of where are you putting him? And the Packers, I don't think they know. I think they look at him, they say he's a very good offensive lineman. We hope he can be a tackle. We don't know. Edgerrin Cooper, where is he going to play? I mean, you know he's a linebacker, but is he your Mike? Is he your strong side linebacker? Is he your weak side linebacker? He legitimately could be any of them. It's just a question of where you want him. Javon Bullard, he's a, you know, I think his coach called him a little stick of dynamite. He's 5'11", 195, but he is a physical, violent human being. He likes to just lay into people. But he also is kind of a slot guy. So there's some hybrid kind of stuff there. What are they going to do? Is he going to be a little bit of cover? Is he going to be a little bit of Don't know. Interesting, though. Here's what Chris Trapasso had to say about him. Hair on fire, stocky safety who can align at the nickel cornerback if needed. Takes great angles against the run and plays with reckless abandon. Runs the alley like a missile. Rarely misses a tackle. Not crazy ball hawk. Smaller with shorter arms. Just a stud football player. Then, in the third round pick, 88, they take Marshawn Lloyd, running back out of USC. Now, I think with almost all of these picks, with the exception of Edgerrin Cooper, I love the pick. It's not, I mean, and I love the position. It's maybe not the guy I would have taken, right? Jordan Morgan is fine. I talked about him as being like that first guy that I came across. I was like, okay, I can see it. But we had a guy that everybody kind of liked that was sitting there, right? Edgerrin Cooper was my top guy. I'm fine with it. Javon Bullard, same kind of deal. Not that he wouldn't necessarily be the top guy in that situation, but, you know, maybe wait a couple, run, you know, whatever. And then Marshawn Lloyd, obviously there are several guys I preferred over Marshawn Lloyd, but I don't have an issue with him. I kind of went through in my grades, rankings, whatever, and when I got to Marshawn Lloyd, I certainly had several concerns, one of which is they don't run the ball much, so I had to watch two different games just to get, like, one game's worth of film on him. But that's when I started to do more ranges as opposed to a grade, because it's a question of, like, projection. I love that he's 5'9". It says 210. I'm pretty sure he's 220. This is probably his old grade. That's not what he measured in at the combine. But, you know, there's sort of a low-end and a high-end grade, and I think, for me, I saw a lot of the low-end stuff that was kind of, you know, not my favorite. I thought, you know, as far as receiving goes, I wasn't super excited about it. It's something that a lot of people have pointed to as a highlight. Just felt like he maybe didn't have a plan, whatever, coachable stuff. But at the same time, he is a prototypical Packer. He checks all the boxes, and I think the Packers look at this as a mold of clay, like a lot of these guys. I mean, Edgerrin Cooper has been talked about that way. I obviously like him more as closer to being a finished product. Not that any rookie is a finished product, but you know what I mean, a little bit more ready. But other people disagree and think that he's a little bit further away. Same with Jordan Morgan. You know, he's got to add some muscle. He's got to, you know, maybe not this year, but maybe next year. We heard the same stuff. This is what the Packers love, right? Packers fans hate it. They hate that we get guys that are a year away. They hate that we get guys that are not going to be studs their rookie year necessarily. Sometimes they accidentally become that, Jaden Reed. But that's not necessarily the intention. We're getting great football players with high character that fit in the locker room. And that's really the end of the story. And Marshawn Lloyd is a prototypical Brian Gutekunst running back. He is a stocky, just massive guy that is just going to punch you in the mouth over and over and over. He's a guy that if you need to, you can put 25, 30 carries on him in a game, and he can handle that load. And now that we have three guys that can do that on this football team, not to mention we got one guy, A.J. Dillon, that's probably pretty unlikely to be coming back. We got another guy that we paid a decent amount of money to, but in reality, it's kind of a one-year, let's see how it goes contract. So if Marshawn Lloyd can pop off, we'll see. But he just fits, and I think he does everything that Matt LaFleur is going to love, and if we get a good enough offensive line, he can do what they want him to do. And then at pick 91, the Green Bay Packers select Tyron Hopper, linebacker out of Missouri. Chris Trapasso gave that one a C+, same as Jordan Morgan. Said, ultra-physical off-ball linebacker, sleek, exudes athleticism, and makes assertive decisions on a routine basis, particularly against the run or blitzers, where he also thrives. Best in that role or as a spy, long way to go in coverage. Another linebacker, ? So in other words, he's wondering why they would draft another linebacker when they already got Edgerrin Cooper. I mean, number one, best player available, although, you know, we know that if they really didn't want a linebacker, they could have moved off the spot or taken somebody else in that spot or whatever. But in addition, I mean, we need more bodies there. I mean, number one, linebackers are special teamers. We lost a linebacker. So in reality, Edgerrin Cooper just replaced a linebacker we lost and we switched to a 4-3. We need another body. You know, and obviously we've got we had basically two starting linebackers in a 4-3 defense. And one of them is maybe a starter. You know, I think maybe we like him a little bit more than is, talking about McDuffie, maybe we like him a little bit more than is reasonable. You know, I don't know. But again, what is it? It's competition. Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, they're going to go in. And I mean, Edgerrin Cooper's going to start. I would be stunned if the second round pick can't get on the field over like McDuffie and Tyron Hopper. But who knows? Crazier things have happened. Not many crazier things, but crazier things have happened. But they're going to go in and they're going to compete and they're going to see how the chips fall. And obviously, you know, the hope is, I mean, Tyron Hopper being sort of a little bit of a smaller guy, at least I think he is. I guess I don't really know. It's they have Edgerrin Cooper listed at 230, Hopper here at 221. I thought he was 228 when I looked. I don't know. But I think Hopper is sort of your weak side linebacker, and then it becomes Cooper or Quay as your strong side linebacker. I think they're very similar. Clayton talked about that a little bit, and it's like, well, Edgerrin Cooper's a pretty good blitzer, so maybe you want him kind of playing that strong side linebacker role, get him closer to the line of scrimmage, but at the same time, that's why I like Quay as a strong side linebacker, because he was kind of excelling as a blitzer down the stretch. He was getting kind of good at that. But, you know, maybe they could be used interchangeably, and that could be kind of a benefit. I don't know. I'm guessing you want one Mike to be, you know, running things. But those are the picks. No other trades up or down. Green Bay Packers, as I mentioned, have 8 picks in rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. Draft, by the way, starts at 11 o'clock Central Time. I believe it runs until about 6 o'clock at night Central Time. I looked at last year's times, and I think that's kind of what it was. I hope so, because otherwise I'm going to have to bounce, because my wife and I have a little dinner date, and I don't intend to miss it. But that is going to be a grind. But all right, let's fly through a couple things here. Edgerrin Cooper, let's start there. First and foremost, 9.13 RAS. Okay size at 6'2", 230. Good explosion, good agility, and elite speed. He ran a 4.51 40-yard dash. He is 22 years old. In 2023, Edgerrin Cooper had a 91 PFF grade. He had an 88 run defense grade, 74 tackling grade, 86 pass rush grade, and an 86 coverage grade. Pretty perfect across the board. His lowest graded game was against Mississippi State. He had a 60 PFF grade in that game. The only reason it was down so low is because his coverage grade was a little bit low. 3 targets, 3 receptions, 31 yards. Apparently that he really jacked that game up. So, but missed tackle rate of 12.8%, that feels high. But again, he graded out really well. He had 27 pressures on just 83 attempts, including 10 sacks. That's wild. He had 10 sacks. Jeez. 10 sacks, 5 hits, and 12 hurries on 83 attempts. 58 total tackles, 11 missed tackles, 56 stops. That's crazy. How do you have 56 stops on 58 tackles? Good Lord. 16 targets, 14 receptions, 132 yards. He didn't give up any touchdowns. He had no picks, two pass breakups. Bob McGinn had him as the number two linebacker. Here are a couple notes. Quote, I think he's a top 15 player, said one scout. It's just the low value of the position. He does everything, nasty and explosive. He covers blitzes. He'll take on. He can chase. He's fast, really fun to watch. He plays like he can run the defense. His instincts are outstanding. He's taller and longer than Roquan Smith. He's like Devin Lloyd in that he played him, all over the place. All right. Next, Scout says he's the best linebacker by far because he can rush the passer too. He played seven techniques sometimes, has upfield dip. As an inside linebacker, he timed his blitzes. You see him downfield covering backs on wheels, as in wheel routes. Third Scout says he can wear the green dot. Again, I don't think Quay is that dude. No disrespect to Quay, but that's why I think Cooper's going to be the Mike. I think Quay's going to be the strong side linebacker, and I think the plan is for Tyron Hopper to be the weak side linebacker. We'll see if he can do it. He goes on to say, not a bad kid at all. He's just a country kid that came from a poor, poor family upbringing, and he doesn't know what he doesn't know. Fair enough. There's a note in here, by the way, we did talk about this, but probably forgot. Late in the season, his girlfriend was killed in an accident as she was riding an ATV. This was just in 2023, I believe. His girlfriend was killed in an ATV accident. So pretty horrible stuff. Quote, if people aren't worried about things, he'll go high because he jumps off the tape, said the third scout. Just seems to be involved in every play. He's a little skinny-legged guy, plays a little light. I didn't feel great about his legginess. He's really concerned about his legs. Having to change directions in space, mid-round guy. Next quote says, the hang-up is he able to handle it mentally, said the fourth scout. I think he'll be just like Devin White. He's going to be unorthodox. He's not going to always play it like the coach wants, but with these quarterbacks these days and when they get out of the pocket, man, you need a guy that can shadow those guys and go get them when the time comes. He can do that as good as anybody. He's probably got the best close to the football as anybody, even Dallas Turner. His deal isn't going to be taking on blockers. This guy is a low rep tackler where he's going to get you on the ground. He can fly sideline to sideline and scrape as good as anybody in the draft. Jeez. I don't even want to read the fifth scout. These guys are kind of douchebags sometimes. He says he may be close to a bust because he's a mental midget, but he can do some things where you're like, wow. Jeez. So anyways, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and look at some of these other prospects. Again, because there's more picks and there's some other stuff I want to do, I'm not going to go through everything with the SIS, go back through Dane Brugler and everything else. So this is kind of the track we're going to keep it on for now for tonight. Again, tomorrow we're going to have to go even faster rapid fire because there's going to be a billion picks. And then after that, we can kind of gear down, go on from there. But anyways, why don't we take our first break? We'll come back and get to Well, no, that's not true. Edgerrin Cooper is my favorite pick. But Javon Bullard, man, that's a guy you can get excited about. Here's a guy. Anyways, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy slab packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Javon Bullard, safety out of Georgia. He has an 8.25 RAS. The only reason it wasn't significantly higher is because of the, largely because of his size. He's 5'10", 198 pounds, poor size grade. Explosion, he didn't do the broad jump, but the vert was not very good, 33 inches. Otherwise, his speed is elite. And then his agility was graded as great. He ran a 4.47 in the 40. PFF, in 2021, he did not start. He played 138 snaps, but even in that limited amount, by the way, 21 years old, 70 PFF grade. He had an 87 tackling grade, 76 run defense, 67 in coverage. In 2022, he got the starting gig, 624 snaps. It jumped up to an 80 PFF grade, 73 run defense, 70 tackling, 71 pass rush, 80 in coverage. He gave up two touchdowns, but had two picks and five pass breakups. 2023, it went up even a little bit more. 83 PFF grade, 67 run defense, 78 tackling, 88.4 coverage grade. He didn't rush the passer a single time, which is odd because he did it 23 times the year before. Maybe he had a slight switch in his role. But 45 tackles, 7 missed tackles, which is a little under 11%, 13 stops, 1 forced fumble. He was targeted 26 times, 14 of those were caught for 119 yards, gave up 0 touchdowns, had 2 picks and 5 pass breakups, 34 passer rating when targeted. The consistency is a little bit more iffy. However, he only had 2 games below a 60, and his worst was a 55.4, so he really did not have any bad games. He just kind of had a lot of, you know, despite the 83, which is kind of a surprising thing. I think the reason it's an 83 is because every game was basically above average, and it just kind of goes up with a couple good games in, but just a lot of 60s, right? He had 370s and 180. That was it. Otherwise, it was, you know, 69, 69, 68, 67, 67, 61, 59, 55. None of those are terrible. Most of those are high 60s, which is still good. Solid football player. Mostly played free safety. Also played some strong safety, though, at Georgia. Obviously, he's going to be spending a little bit more time not as the free safety in Green Bay, whether that's, you know, lined up as a slot or strong safety or whatever. He was ranked as the number 2 safety behind Tyler Newbin on Bob McGinn's list here. It says, played nickel in 2022 for the national championship, winning defensive MVP honors in both playoff games. Quote, he's the number 1 safety, one scout said. He can't cover wideouts, but he's a safety. He's square, and he's a secure open field tackler. Solid. Third-year junior, played free safety in 2023. Quote, more of a downhill type, but he's a notch better than a box safety, said a second scout. Really good against the run. He will hammer you when he gets you in his sights. Little tight in the hips. He's not a good pedal. He's got a good pedal, and he's got quick feet, but he loses a step on the turn because he's just tight in the hips. He has a good short. He has good short and underneath cover skills in both man and zone, but he gets lost in the deeper he goes. I kind of questioned his instincts. He can be a late 2 or early 3 with that kind of speed. Next scout says he can play free and strong. He's just not prototypical size in height and length. He does have good feet. He tested well. Finished with 114 tackles, 8 for a loss, 4 picks, 12 pass breakups. Quote, are you kidding me with this guy? A fourth scout said. He looks like a corner, short and thin. He's active and has instincts. He's also very limited athletically. He tries, but he just can't get to where he needs to go in coverage and run support. He cannot do that, cover wideouts. I thought he was a free agent. I tell you what, man. I hate to keep disparaging the whole tape watching thing because I know there's value in it. But you know what I know? 2 + 2 = 4, no matter who does the math. And you've got the guys at the top of the top of the top. These are the NFL scouts. And you got one guy saying he's the number one safety in the entire NFL draft. Another guy saying second, third round. And another guy saying he's an undrafted free agent. It's hard to convince me this is a science. All right, let's move on to the third round here. Marshawn Lloyd, running back out of USC. This was actually the highest grade given to us by Chris Trapasso. So we had a C-plus for Jordan Morgan, B-plus for Edrin Cooper, A-minus for Javon Bullard, A for Marshawn Lloyd, C-plus for Tyron Hopper. But Marshawn Lloyd had an 8.62 RAS, okay size at 5'8.5", 220 pounds. He had good speed, running a 4.46 40, and good explosion, did not do the agility testing. Kicking it over to PFF, he played at South Carolina about a half a season, 64 attempts, 228 yards, 3.6 yards per attempt, one touchdown, and three fumbles. He had a 49 PFF grade, 55 rushing grade, 28 fumbling grade, 40 run blocking grade. 2022 at South Carolina, he jumped up to a more of a full-time role, doubled his attempts, 110 attempts, 565 yards, 5.1 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, 2 fumbles, 77.9 grade, 84 rushing grade. Then he transfers to USC in 2023, has 115 attempts, 816 yards, 7.1 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, 3 fumbles, 82 PFF grade, 87.2 rushing grade, 7.1 yards per attempt is pretty wild stuff. Another guy, honestly, very similar to the other guys so far as PFF goes. His lowest graded game was a 61. These guys don't really have like low floor game. You know, a lot of times you'll see guys have got a 75 grade, but there's two 90s and like a 40 and a 30 and a 50 and stuff. That's not really a thing here. Largely consistent. I mean, if the UCLA game at a 69.5 is, if we call that a 70, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games at a 70 or higher, including his highest graded game, which is an 82 against Arizona State. He had an 87 rushing grade in that game. He had 13 attempts, 156 yards, 12 yards per attempt in that game. That's craziness. He also had 11 yards per attempt against Nevada, and almost 12 yards per attempt against Utah. By the way, he had 3.97 yards after contact per attempt and 47 missed tackles forced. Sounds like something Brian Gutekunst might be interested in. He had 24 carries over 10 yards on his 115 attempts and 18 over 15 yards. By the way, Daniel Jeremiah thinks that Marshawn Lloyd is the best running back in this entire draft class. Bob McGinn, not so much. He had him as the 7th running back. It says 4th-year junior, put in 3 years at South Carolina and 2023 at USC. Quote, fast guy with good hands, one scout said. His Senior Bowl was really good. Redshirted in 2020 after suffering a torn ACL that August. Quote, he had the ACL and played with a brace on his left knee, said a second scout. The vision's not there. The feel's not there. Just whatever's ahead of you, run straight as hard as you can. If there's a crease, you burst through it. If there's not, you get chopped down. Doesn't know how to protect his body. Doesn't know how to bounce. Doesn't know how to get skinny. Kind of a slasher with a crease. He's a straight-line fast guy trying to play running back. I wouldn't take him till very late, depending on how the knee checked out. Third scout says, he's really quick, but he's short. Two things I didn't like was his height and the way he finishes. Strong lower body, excellent balance, catches the ball. So, pretty varying opinions there, as with everybody. Again, I wasn't super high on Marshawn Lloyd. I think I first time, I really, really didn't like him. The second time through, it was, again, it's really just a matter of, can you see the vision? Can you get there? And I think I kind of got there. You see enough of the positives to say, you know, if you can kind of stitch these together, you can see it. I don't think you can convince me that I of putting Lloyd ahead of some of the other guys, but Daniel Jeremiah is better at this than I am. So if he says he's the top guy, I'll take his word for it. I'm sure the Packers also had similar opinions. By the way, I believe one of the quotes from Brian Gutekunst is that everybody they picked, they had second round or higher grades on. So really speaks highly of everybody, including guys like Tyron Hopper, who I doubt many people would have expected to be a second round value or would agree with that assessment, I should say. But I am happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear the Packers are that excited about him, because you don't view somebody with second round value and say, eh, we'll see, maybe he's a special teamer. That's a guy you're excited to start day one. Speaking of Tyron Hopper, he came in at 6'1 and a half, 231 pounds. That's actually quite a bit bigger than I was seeing. It's actually bigger than Cooper, isn't it? It's interesting. Explosion grade is listed as great. Good speed, ran a 4.68. His 20-yard split was kind of the best. The agility is where he really got hurt. He has poor agility. The shuttle and the three cone came in out of 10 as a 3.77 and a 4.31. Short shuttle was 4.46, three cone 7.29. But, you know, 7.42, we're kind of in that Jaden Reed territory where you kind of wonder if either the Packers saw it and are okay with it, or they looked at it and go, nah, I think he's better than what the testing shows. But, I mean, this is going to be one of the harder ones to kind of come around to, but I can tell you right now the easiest way to come around to him, because you can look at it and say, well, PFF said he sucked. Not exactly. PFF didn't like him in 2023. They loved him in 2022. So, I mean, we've been down this road before. I mean, Dontayvion Wicks and pretty much everybody in last year's draft class, it was like, you know, 2022 wasn't great, but 2021 was, you know, out of this world or whatever. That's Tyron Hopper. So his highest graded game this year, by the way, 3 years at Florida, he started 1 year. So he played three snaps 2019, 75 in 2020, 471 in 2021. Then he transfers to Missouri, and it was a starter for 2 years there. His grades at Florida, first year doesn't matter, second year kind of doesn't matter. His 1 year starting at Florida, he had a 60 PFF grade. Goes to Missouri, 77 PFF grade, 65 run defense, 54 tackling, 84 pass rush, and a 79 coverage grade. But then last year in Missouri, his highest graded game was a 67. He had a 51.5 PFF grade, 61 run defense, 47 tackling, 64 pass rush, and 39 coverage. It was putrid. It was awful. It was terrible. It was garbage. But again, this is a, you want to see something, go back and watch him in 2022. In fact, let me go look at some specifically for those that are interested in maybe going to watch some of his tape. I mean, he had mostly good games that year. Louisiana Tech, 90. Arkansas, 76. Vanderbilt was a 73. Florida was a 73. Tennessee was a 72. Kentucky was a 71. South Carolina was a 69. Abilene Christian was a 68. Auburn was a 67. I mean, those are all good games. The only kind of rough games were New Mexico State, 50. And Wake Forest was a 49.5. Or a 48.5, 49. So almost any game he played, in 2022 was a good game. I don't know what happened in 2023. We'll get to one of the things I can see actually pretty instantly. It looks like they may have switched schemes, because in 2022, he was designated as a left inside linebacker. In 2023, he was a weak side linebacker slash middle linebacker, which kind of sounds like they went from a 3-4 to a 4-3. But anyways, they made some changes and it didn't seem to work out very well for him. But yeah, 2022 is when you want to go back and watch him. But some of the statistics here, he had 87 pass rush attempts, 17 pressures, 3 sacks, 1 hit, 13 hurries. He had 1 batted pass, 45 tackles, 17 missed tackles, which is a 23% missed tackle rate. That's not good. He was targeted 30 times, 21 of them were caught for 231 yards. He gave up 1 touchdown, had 0 picks, 2 pass breakups, 103.6 passer rating when targeted. Let's go back to 2022, though, and see what those stats look like. So he had 32 pressures on 125 attempts, 4 sacks, 5 hits, 23 hurries, 2 batted passes, 60 tackles, 16 missed tackles, which is still 17%, 41 stops, one forced fumble, 29 targets, 21 receptions for 165 yards, zero touchdowns, one pick, two pass breakups, 71.8 passer rating when targeted. So we'll see. We'll see. The Packers saw the vision. This one's going to be a little bit trickier, but we'll see if he can pull through. Fingers crossed. Obviously, all of us need to go back and watch these guys. I probably won't get an opportunity until after the draft, but very excited to learn more about this guy and exactly what the vision is. All right, why don't we take our final break, and I want to kind of look forward to today and kind of give you, as of right now, some of the guys I'm eyeing, and then, like I said, I will actually go through and do a much more thorough look through of all the prospects to try to find a full list of guys that I would be excited about if we drafted. But let me give you my current list as it stands. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so let's go position by position here. And again, this is just currently as it stands, guys that I know of that I know for one reason or another I do like. Quarterback, I don't want them to draft a quarterback, but I did really like Michael Pratt. So that would be the one instance where if they got a guy, I'd be like, oh yeah, this guy's legit. Running back, there's plenty of guys. Do I expect it? Not necessarily, but Estime, I'm not a huge fan of, but I see the vision, and obviously he is a Packers guy. Will Shipley, same kind of a thing, different style, but type of guy where I kind of started to see the vision. Dylan Lauby, I'd be all in on. Braylon Allen, I really started to come around to. Ray Davis, I'm also a big fan of. Dylan Lauby is sort of the one that is double circle, triple underline as far as being a big fan. Again, I don't really expect them to go back to that well, but it's entirely possible. Wide receiver, I don't have much. The only thing I will say is right now I'm very intrigued by Brennan Rice. From a statistical standpoint, he is very high on a lot of metrics, and so that is certainly really interesting to me. But I have to do a better job of really digging into those guys because I don't have a whole lot else going on. Tight ends, Jared Wiley, I really like. I think we already kind of have a Jared Wiley, but I don't care. I would be more than fine with getting another one. Let's see who else we've got. Eric All is another one out of Iowa that I think if you're trying to get more of a Mercedes Lewis type of guy, I'm a little bit intrigued by maybe going in that direction. So those would be the two tight ends that I currently am looking at. I think Cade Stover might be another one that's kind of similar, but we'll hold off on that until tomorrow. Tackles, I don't have anything completely solid. I know Christian Jones out of Texas appeared a couple times on some of the statistics, but I'm not going to officially put my stamp on that until I can kind of take a second look. Guard, I know some of the names, but I don't want to pop off too much. I know Christian Mahogany. I know Mason McCormick. I don't necessarily... I don't want to put my stamp of approval on them just because I know their name. But I know they're very highly touted. 33rd team has Christian Mahogany as a 51st overall prospect. Centers, not surprisingly, I'm all in on Tanner Bordellini. I love the athleticism that he brings. Extremely rare athlete. It doesn't hurt that he's from Wisconsin and has a mullet. I mean, he just checks all the boxes. Van Pran is just, at this point, just a name. I got to go back and see if that would be someone I'd be interested in. At this point, it's not. Our boy Xavier Galdon, remember we talked about him? Be pretty cool to maybe snag him. At defensive tackle, Leonard Taylor, I know I was kind of poking around a little bit. I wanted to find a guy that is more of a run defender, and Leonard Taylor is up near the top. In fact, 33rd team has him as the 46th best prospect. He's still on the board, and again, when you look at some of the advanced metrics in run defense, he's one of the top guys there. So again, I want to dig a little bit deeper into that and maybe find a few other defensive tackles. But right now, if I had to pick one, Leonard Taylor is the one that's most intriguing. The only thing I don't like is he's from Miami, and I don't know why, but there have some of the OGs are going to remember. You got to have a real good memory and have been hanging out, especially through the draft process. There was a guy out of Miami that was a defensive tackle that everybody loved, and I hated him. I just thought he was the worst defensive tackle. He went on to not do anything, so I felt vindicated in that. But for whatever reason, Leonard Taylor being from Miami, I just look at it and go, I don't like him. But I'm going to go ahead and get over that and say that he's going to be on my list for right now. Edge rushers, I don't have anybody that I really care for as far as guys that I've watched. However, Muhammad Kamara, very high again on a lot of metrics. So currently ranked 177, 6'1", 248 pounds, a little bit of a smaller guy. But, I mean, that guy's, you're looking at stats, he's going to be up near the top. Linebackers, I mean, I'm not sure if they'd go back into it, but, you know, I know Cedric Gray is okay for me. Jalen Ford and Tommy Eichenberg, I'm all the way in. Jeremiah Trotter, I'm okay with. You know, Gray and Trotter, I'm fine with. But Jalen Ford and Tommy Eichenberg, I'm real excited about. James Williams always intrigued me. I don't know why. I think it's just because he was listed as a safety and he's a monster, but now everyone just kind of views him as a linebacker. So I can't get him out of my mind as a guy that I liked. But I know I don't like Jordan McGee. Other than that, looking at it, I do not like Nathaniel Watson. I know that. I think that's about it for now. Those are my two guys. And again, I'd be okay with Gray or Trotter. I'd have no issue with that. I just didn't personally have a big affinity for him. At cornerback, as of right now, DJ James, I know my son was big on him, so I'm in on it because he liked him. Cam Hart, we've talked about. That's a guy that I think would be really solid for the Green Bay Packers. Storm Duck is a fantastic name, so I'd love to have him. I'm kidding. No, I think Cam Hart is my one guy right now. And then safety is where I think probably most of the guys that I like reside. Oladapo, Malik Mustafa, where else? Some of these guys might have got drafted. Where's my boys at? Do they all get Bo Braid? I like Trey Taylor is right there. I like him. Looks like that might be about it. But yeah, there's still a lot of safeties. I don't know if we're going back in that. I wouldn't be super surprised, to be honest with you, especially if a lot of these guys end up falling. But man, if we picked up like a Malik Mustafa, it's kind of cool too, because, you know, Mustafa to me is one of the notes on Bullard is he's more than just a box safety. In other words, he's not great in coverage, but you wouldn't just put him inside the box of being a box safety. I feel like Malik Mustafa might be a little bit more in that box. But when you add in the fact that we got Bullard, it kind of feels like it rounds it out a little bit more. Like with those three guys, you just feel like you got your pure box guy, you got your sort of box slot guy, and then you got your free safety. But yeah, I like Oladapo, Mustafa, and then, you know, I don't think I cared for Jaden Hicks a ton, if I'm not mistaken. But hopefully I can even add to this list. We got Josh Proctor. I think he was, if I'm not mistaken, spent maybe a year with our DC. I could be wrong about that. But plenty of names, and again, I'm going to go back and try to add some more so that I got a list to go off of for tomorrow. But I'm very, very excited about tomorrow. I'm going to leave it at that so I can get going to bed here. It's 12:30. I don't want to start yawning and falling asleep and talking gibberish on the podcast again. So you guys have yourselves a good night. I cannot wait to hang out with you tomorrow. You can give me your list and we'll go from there. But you guys have a good rest of your day. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.